Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, here we go on a Friday. All sorts of drama. We love that. Live in Los Angeles, it's The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, we're on Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio, and FS1. No drama quite like superstar quarterback drama. And Joy Taylor is joining me. I am here for all of it.
I love it. I root for chaos, and this is anarchy.
Yeah. Football anarchy.
I love it.
So Pete Carroll's 70. He doesn't want to rebuild, obviously. And Russell Wilson, I can argue, still in his prime, 32, but a great 32. So we start with that. Rumors, gossip. And it came out yesterday that Russell Wilson said, I don't want to be traded, but here's the four teams I'd play for. And as I drove around yesterday, humbly, as I always drive around Los Angeles, grateful for everything I have in life, I listened to sports talk radio peeps. Many of them had the same takeaway, which is, I can't believe Russell Wilson named teams that already have quarterbacks. And I just rolled my eyes. Oh, come on now. Dak Prescott's employment isn't a Russell Wilson problem. Derek Carr getting his feelings hurt is not a Russell Wilson problem. Dak was offered 5 years and $125 million, and he turned it down. Dak just happened to play hardball with the Cowboys, and today he doesn't have much leverage. Because if I was Dallas, I'd go get Russell Wilson and pay him less. Yes, it would actually cost him less. Russell Wilson's agent put it on the table. All the chips pushed him out. We're going public with it. We don't want to be traded, but we'd be willing to go to these four teams and we have a no-trade clause, so you can't trade us to a crappy team. That's what agents are paid to do. By the way, Seahawks for years played nice. Go Hawks! Mark Rogers, who I know, played nice. Unhappy with some things, but didn't go public. But Pete Carroll ignored them. So the old saying in Seattle for the last year is, let Russ cook. Mark Rogers, Russell Wilson's agent, is changing the new mantra to, put heat on Pete. Pete Carroll ignored him. Pete Carroll's got a prehistoric offense. Pete's got too much power. Nobody's controlling Pete. He's got too much say in everything. No more let Russ cook. Put heat on Pete. Let's make it public. That's what an agent's job is to do. I've had half a dozen agents. We all play nice for a while, but if you ignore us, we put heat on you. Russell Wilson played Mr. Nice Guy forever. Tom Brady played Mr. Nice Guy in New England for 20 years. 20 years, Mr. Nice Guy. In the end, they took advantage of him. I used to criticize Andrew Luck, who I was a huge fan of. I loved Andrew Luck, but I'm like, stop always saying nice stuff. Your GM's incompetent. Your coach is not good enough. Your offensive line stinks. Put heat on management. I've been doing this for 30 years. I have seen management often in college sports, in pro sports, in television, in radio, take advantage of nice guys. You can be a nice guy. I'd prefer everybody's a nice guy, but too often those guys get taken advantage of. Andrew Luck was taken advantage of. He's now retired. Russell Wilson was taken advantage of. At the end, Tom Brady was taken advantage of. So you leave the athlete nowhere to go. Tom Brady finally went public with it. Deshaun's gone public with it. Russell's gone public with it. It's not his fault if Dak Prescott overplayed his hand. So, you know, I look at this morning. I totally 100% support Russell Wilson. If it hurt Derek Carr's feelings, so be it. If it hurt Dak's feelings, so be it. I think Dak's overplayed his hand. I think he's a good quarterback who wants a great salary. I'd love to pay Dak somewhere between $28.5 and $31 million. He wants $37 or $38. That's Mahomes, Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers category. So, you know, this I don't feel bad for all the other quarterbacks in this league. Brady played nice. Andrew Luck played nice. Russell Wilson, they played nice forever. They did it the right way. But when people ignore you and Belichick and Pete Carroll start ignoring you and the Houston dysfunctional Texans are ignoring Deshaun, you leave the employee no other route. It didn't have to get here. Didn't have to be there for Brady. Remember when Giselle said in the documentary, he just wants to go to work and be appreciated. Can you imagine winning 6 Super Bowls and not feeling appreciated? There was a time Joy and I were on the air and Belichick had to give Brady a game ball. We had footage of it. It was uncomfortable. It was uncomfortable Belichick having to acknowledge, you were pretty good today, Tom. This, it doesn't have to get here. It's here because of egomaniacs, coaches, GMs, and owners not respecting the star player. All right, so it's very interesting. So 4 teams were mentioned by Russell Wilson and his agent. And those teams are the Cowboys, the Bears, the Raiders, and the Saints. And this is why the Cowboys is very interesting. Jerry Jones is 78 years old. It is virtually impossible with a new NFL to win a Super Bowl with a very good or good quarterback making great money. In fact, this morning I looked it up. The last 10 Super Bowl-winning quarterbacks, they averaged about a 9 to a 10% cap hit, meaning they only take up about 9 to 10% of your cap. Brady last year was high. Now, he took a pay cut. He was almost 14. That's abnormally high. But in most instances, you look at it here. Russell Wilson won a title. He was 0.4% of the cap. Nick Foles, 0.9. The average is about 8, 9, 10%. Dak with a franchise tag is 20%. Russell Wilson goes to the Cowboys. He's less than 11%. So think about that. Jerry can get on the phone at 78. He wants a Super Bowl. I get a better quarterback for half the cap hit because Dallas won't have to pay that $13 million a year signing bonus. Don't have to pay it. Dallas also, this is interesting, of all the teams that Russell Wilson mentioned, Dallas has the highest draft pick. The advantage is, of course, they could call Pete Carroll and say, okay, we'll give you Dak. We'll give you the number 10 pick. That's just a starting point. So Dallas got that higher pick in every round. Also, you don't have to deal with this weird franchise tag Dak dilemma. Not only would you pay Dak like $37 million this year, but if you tagged him again next year, you'd pay him $50 million. It'd be brutal. So, I mean, you get to a situation, and this is not anti-Dak, but it's almost a no-brainer. It's almost a no-brainer. I don't get into franchise tag hell. I get a better quarterback. I could say a more marketable quarterback. He's better and he's cheaper. I mean, that's one of those things. Stephen Jones and Jerry Jones, I mean, you don't have to finish a coffee over it. You don't even have to, I mean, you don't even have to call each other on the way to work. You can just text each other. Let's make a call. So, and I'm not anti-Dak at all, but Dak, I think we would all agree on this. Dak was offered a 5-year deal over $100 million. And he has played his hand. His agent's been very aggressive. They believe Dak is worth more. That's fine. I mean, a lot of people in every business who have agents, entertainment, music, sports, whatever, you play the hand you think you have a right to play. I think, remember when Russell Wilson came out about a year ago and there were rumors he wanted to go to New York? He played his hand. Well, Seattle traded all these picks. They signed Russell. He had leverage. Dak's been doing the same thing. And I do believe Dak, I said this on the air to Joy, I think Dak had leverage a week ago. I absolutely do. Then this story comes out. Now he's got no leverage. So that's the downside to kind of playing your hardball hand, playing your leverage, because Dak had a ton of leverage until yesterday. And now it's like, oh, bro, he don't have any leverage. I'm Jerry Jones. I make the call today. The question is, does Seattle like what Dallas can give them? Do they like the number 10 pick in several rounds this year? So that's where we are this morning. Dallas is fascinating. You've got a deal-making owner with a quarterback dilemma he likes, doesn't love. You've got a very good draft pick or multiple draft picks to give the Seahawks. Would Seattle move on it? It's something to think about. Have Dak for a year. Get the 10 pick. Do what you got to do. but it's interesting.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask?
Along with my fellow Pro Bowler TJ Houshmandzadeh and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it. Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
So the Houston Texans are really mangling this. Not a shock. Head coach David Culley got the word directly from the source. Deshaun Watson has no intention of playing for the Texans. They met on Friday. Deshaun Watson said, I am playing for you. Okay. So this is what happened in Houston with James Harden. James Harden didn't want to play. And the Rockets push back, and it goes public. And then you got no leverage. And in the end, the Rockets now have lost 9 straight. They're awful. James Harden is crushing it, and the Rockets kept waiting and got less in the end. The longer the Texans wait and the more public it goes, you're trapped. Remember, free agency. We've already seen Stafford with a new team and Carson Wentz with a new team. 2 or 3 more teams are going to get their quarterback in free agency. Then 5 teams are going to get their quarterback in the draft. So there's only going to be 1 or 2 teams that need a quarterback. And Deshaun Watson has the no-trade clause, so he can dictate who and where he goes. So the rule in sports has always been really simple. When a superstar wants out, make a deal before it goes public. I'll give you an example. Lew Alcindor, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, was one of the great college basketball, best high school basketball player ever, one of the great college basketball players. He goes to Milwaukee. He doesn't want to stay, but he's smart. He realizes, I'm not going to go public. He tells at a dinner, the Milwaukee organization, I do not want to be here. They were able to make a deal with the Lakers, and they got a haul. It's one of the only trades ever where a superstar was able, in return, to get tons of picks and players back. I'll give you another example. Paul George wanted out of the Indianapolis Pacers. Remember that? The Indiana Pacers. And he went public. Pacers got 2 players. When he wanted out of Oklahoma City, he didn't make it public. Oklahoma City got 5 players and a rising young promising star at point guard. So if it doesn't go public, you have some leverage. You can call 2 or 3 GMs. Hey, I got this story and I got 2 teams hot. You're one of them. Let's go. And if they threaten to go public, you can just tell them, I'm giving you 1 chance to get him. I'm giving you 1 chance to get Deshaun Watson. Well, I'm not hanging this phone call up. I'm going to give you 5 minutes. Sit down with your people, make a decision. There's 2 teams that want him. You put the pressure on the teams and the GMs. But once it goes public, the GMs at the other teams put all the pressure on you. Why should we give anything up? He wants out. He's got a no-trade clause. So Houston is mangling this. Matt Stafford, January 23rd, said, I'd like to move on. 7 days later, he's a Ram. What did the Lions get? A starting quarterback and a bunch of picks. They got a nice haul for it. The Lions got a, I don't know if they got the right coach. I don't think they do, but they got a haul for it. Oklahoma City for Paul George, got a haul for it. Lew Alcindor leaving Milwaukee, they got a haul for it. So, I mean, this is what's amazing to me. There are ways to do things when you own or run a team. And listen, you never want to start or want to go. Of course you don't want. Now it's out there in public. Every general manager picks the phone up with a smile on their face. I don't know. What am I going to give you? There's only 2 teams left that need a quarterback. We're one of them. He's got a no-trade clause. I mean, can you imagine if all these teams make a move for a quarterback and it's down in New England? And Deshaun's like, yeah, I'll go to New England. And Belichick's on the phone. He's like, everybody else got quarterback. We're the only team left. He wants to come play for us. What do you think Belichick is going to give a goofy Cal McNair? He's going to give him an end table and a cup of Starbucks. You're not going to give him anything. So the longer you wait, the more you get butchered. You got to get on the phone and get this thing done before. By the way this thing's working out now, we may have Russell Wilson on a new team in 2 hours. We have Sam Darnold and the Bears in 3 hours. You got to get going on this stuff.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Aggressive is now winning in sports. Dodgers got aggressive with Mookie Betts. They won the World Series. Tampa Bay got ridiculously aggressive. Antonio Brown, Leonard Fournette, Gronk, they won the Super Bowl. The Nets got aggressive. Brooklyn, now the best team in the East. Lakers got aggressive with AD. Let's be honest, they just shipped like seven guys out. And Raptors got aggressive with Kawhi Leonard, and they won. So aggressive more than ever wins. So think about this with the Raiders and Russell Wilson. So the first two quarterbacks John Gruden ever dealt with, he was a 49ers assistant. They had Joe Montana. His next job, he was a Green Bay Packer assistant. They had Brett Favre. Since then, here's the quarterbacks he's dealt with. Rich Gannon, Brad Johnson, Jeff Garcia, Brian Griese, Derek Carr. By the way, capable people. He has won 50% of his games. He is an 8-8 football coach. That's what Gruden is today. So John Gruden is at a fork in the road in his career right now. He's got 7 years left in his contract. He's not going to get fired. His brand remains strong. But they're 9-7 now. They have the worst defensive personnel in his division, and it's time for a big boy swing. Okay, you cannot win your division with the fourth best quarterback in your division. They do not. They have the third best. Derek Carr is the third most talented quarterback in their division. They have the fourth worst defense. So just say this out loud for John Gruden. He's going to his fourth year with the Raiders. Third best quarterback talent, and I like Derek Carr. It just so happens Mahomes and Justin Herbert are sensational, transcendent arm talents. So he's got the fourth best defense and the third best quarterback. Only four teams in the AFC had fewer Pro Bowlers than the Raiders last year. So how do you catch up? Because they're up against the cap. How do you catch up? Can't go to free agency, big. You catch up with a phone call and get Russell Wilson. That's it. That's how you catch up fast. Derek Carr goes to Seattle, which, by the way, doesn't make any interceptions, doesn't throw picks. Very safe, very smart. Derek's a top 12 quarterback. You need about a top 12 quarterback to win a Super Bowl. So Seattle still gets Derek Carr. But Russell Wilson catches you up fast. John is the only coach in football that's had three straight non-winning seasons and hasn't been fired. So he's not getting fired. But if you look at his career now, he's a 500 coach. He's better on television than he is coaching football at this point. That is what he is. So to me, it's a real fork in the road. And the advantage Gruden has, and Belichick has this power too, and Pete Carroll. Here's the big advantage. There's three coaches that can do whatever they want in this league. Belichick, Pete Carroll, Gruden. Andy Reid cannot do everything he wants. He's got a real owner and a real GM. There are three coaches in this league that have ultimate power. Belichick, Gruden, and Pete. Pete and Gruden could pull this off. They both have the leverage to pull it off. That's it. So two of the three guys who have the power as a coach could make this thing happen. Derek Carr, by the way, is a pretty good fit in Seattle. Pretty good fit. So I mean, listen, Gruden could get John Gruden out of the AFC so he doesn't come back to burn him. And Pete could get Russell Wilson out of the NFC so Russell doesn't come back to burn him and keep him out of Super Bowls. So the Raiders situation, and what you don't want to do is trade a guy. So this was when Garoppolo got traded by New England. He sent him out west to the NFC. So Garoppolo didn't end up beating Belichick, and you pay a price for it. So ultimately, Seattle, if they had to trade Russ, you want to get him to the AFC. If I see him in a Super Bowl, I can live with it. You don't want to have, and by the way, Gruden, same thing. You know, Derek Carr, I'd rather him not come back, and because he'd probably come back and play his best games against me if I'm Gruden. I'd rather get him over to the NFC and put him in a tougher division. So, you know, Pete and Gruden have the power to pull this off, whether they should have that power or not. But I think if you look at Gruden right now, he starts his career with Montana and Favre, and I like Rich Gannon. I do, and I thought Jeff Garcia is pretty darn talented, and I like Derek Carr. He's a 500 coach. He's a 500 coach. And when you look in that division, I got Patrick Mahomes twice a year, and I got Justin Herbert twice a year, and I got a lousy defense. The only way to catch up is a superstar quarterback. That's it. That's the, you're not going to do it with a pass rusher. You're not going to do it with a running back. I already got a great running back.
The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask?
Along with my fellow Pro Bowler, TJ Hushmanzada, and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Oh, by the way, so the whole Russell Wilson named four teams yesterday. So in order for it to work, Russell has a no-trade clause. Here's the four teams that would be best for him to go to. So he named the four. I'll put them in order of what I think the best fit is for him. So number one, he mentioned the Saints. That's the best place to go. GM, head coach, roster, A. Super Bowl team immediately. Number two is Dallas. They got great weapons. He's going to walk into nothing but wide receivers, star running back. Number three, Bears. They have a championship defense. Number four, Raiders. You're in a division with Patrick Mahomes. And to be honest with you, a lot of questions with the Raiders right now. Now, what's best for Seattle? Okay, best for Seattle is you trade with the Raiders because you could potentially get Derek Carr back and you'd get Russell Wilson out of the NFC and over to the AFC. Second best would be Dallas. Dallas has the highest pick of the four teams. So back in return, you could get the number 10 pick in like the first round and the second round, and you get a bunch of picks. Number three is the Bears. It's probably the third best for Seattle because they are desperate. You have a coach and a GM on the hot seat. So Chicago's going to overpay for it. You got a desperate football team. And number four, where Seattle doesn't want him going, is the Saints because it's in the NFC. And you're never getting to another Super Bowl past Russell. And by the way, he'd be Sean Payton and Russell Wilson together. It would be like lightning. And Pete Carroll would look really bad. You'd be reminded like 14 times a year what a bad decision that was. So for Russell, the Saints is the best. For Seattle, Saints is the worst. So I would eliminate that one. Seattle just not even going to – I don't think they want to do that one at all. The one that's second for both is Dallas. It's not terrible for the Seahawks. You could get Dak if you wanted. You get a very good draft pick, and Jerry Jones is a deal maker. And by the way, it's not like Dallas doesn't have they give you one of their receivers. If you gave me CeeDee Lamb, I get the number 10 pick, CeeDee Lamb, three other firsts. Yeah, CeeDee Lamb was pretty good. So Chris Sims, NFL analyst, played 8 years in the NFL. He could charge you for his tweets. They're very, very interesting, and he is now joining us live. He was 26-6 at Texas, by the way. You won a lot of games at Texas. A lot. Who did you lose to? Let me guess. Oklahoma.
Yeah, well, that's all. I mean, to me, that's the only one I can remember for the most part because, of course, that's our big rival, and you can't beat Oklahoma. It's like you lost four games in one right there. So that was torture. I still think about the damn Boomer Sooners.
Yeah. So let's talk about the Russell Wilson thing. He named four teams. Now, I think he's a great fit in New Orleans, but Seattle wouldn't like that. Is there one of the four that you look at and you consider cap and draft picks that you do think, Chris, is a little more realistic for that deal if he did leave?
Well, I think the one I will look at, and you said you had a lot of good thoughts there, Colin. I agree with a lot of what you just said in all aspects of that. The Raiders one is interesting to me because of like what you said. There is Derek Carr there. You know, my big thing right off the bat would be, you know, it'd be I do think Seattle's sick of Russell Wilson, and obviously Russell Wilson's sick of Seattle. I know some things about the situation. Russell wants to be on a team that is going to go all in on him. And, of course, we know up in Seattle with Pete Carroll, it's going to be about defense and balance and all those type of things. But he's sitting there watching, you know, guys like Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes where the team's being based around them. And he's going, wait, I can play that style of football too. the Raiders, with some of that young talent they have at the receiver position, are very good offensive line. I mean, you mentioned all the negatives about it. You do got to go to the AFC West and deal with Mahomes and all that. But still, Gruden is one of the better offensive minds in football. And the other one that just – why it makes sense is – and where I don't know if it's going to happen this year is because – Seattle, I think, needs Russell Wilson more than he needs them at this point.
Yeah.
It'd be one thing if we were a few years ago and they still had that run game and an awesome Legion of Boom defense. Then I think they'd make this move. But right now, he is kind of the team. And at Pete Carroll's age, does he really want to abandon ship and try to figure out a new formula of how to win games with a new quarterback? And that would be my big question about the whole situation.
So Joey and I have talked about this, Chris, that if I'm Deshaun Watson, I'm done. I want out. And if he took a year off, so go back to your career. If you'd have taken a year off in the NFL, how much do you lose? Do you lose your fastball? You tell me what a year off would mean for a quarterback.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, a year off, I don't care who you are, you're going to come back and, you know, have to wipe off some of the cobwebs and everything like that. One of my big things about quarterback, and what I'll always say, and this is why I always favor when you draft a quarterback in the first round, start playing them. You can't emulate playing quarterback in the NFL in practice. You can't. Not until you get out there in a game and now you got guys that are 285 pounds trying to rip your head off and do all of that. You can't do that in practice. So playing the game is paramount into being successful. Now, I'm not as talented as Deshaun Watson. We know that. Deshaun Watson is probably a guy that, you know, it's like riding a bike. He could get right back into flow, you know, a few weeks. But what you said there, I mean, I've been saying this for a few weeks on Pro Football Talk. I know, and I had said this prior to the reports we saw yesterday, Deshaun Watson, he's willing to sit out the year. I know from some people in his camp and around him that he is willing to do that. He does not want to be there, and I understand that. I don't think there's a lot of guys that want to be on that Houston team right now. It's dysfunctional, and he has the support of his team behind him. I'm interested to see where it goes. They're not answering calls right now. There's no doubt. But, wow, I mean, again, I do think Miami, and I do think the Carolina Panthers – When the Texans start to answer phone calls, are going to be major players in this conversation. And those two teams, too, I would go, why would Russell Wilson not want to go there? Those teams are really close. Carolina is the one where I look at when you go DJ Moore, Christian McCaffrey, you know, maybe they can re-sign Curtis Samuel. They can have an offense that could be really special here in the next coming years. And they've done a good job rebuilding their team. So we'll see where this goes with Watson, but I certainly don't see him ever playing for the Houston Texans again.
Yeah, same here. You know, yesterday as I was driving around, because the story broke about Russell Wilson late in our show, and they named the four teams. And then as I got in my car and driving around, sports radio guys, they were all saying the same thing. Well, that's a terrible thing to do to Derek Carr and Dak. That's terrible. And I thought to myself, listen, Dak has been maybe overplayed his hand a little bit. I thought Dak had leverage until yesterday about noon. And then when this story came out, I thought, I'm not sure Dak's got any leverage at all. Your thoughts about this morning, what Dak and his camp may be thinking, because Russell's actually cheaper than Dak because you don't have to pay that signing bonus money every year, Chris.
I know. Yes. I agree with you that he might have overplayed his hand a little bit. Dak Prescott, for me, when healthy, there is no question he's a top 10 quarterback in football, let alone he brings a lot of intangibles to the team as far as he is a great leader. He's selfless that way. He's awesome in the locker room. Guys rally behind him. There is value in that. But he's not Russell Wilson on the football field. I'm not going to say that. And I think, you know, with that injury being pretty serious, movement is a part of his game, as you're seeing here on the highlights and him running and all that. You know, I would be scared if I'm Dallas just to throw out huge money, long-term contract right away, right now, without kind of, you know, getting to see a little bit farther down the road to where we are health-wise. And is he going to really be able to perform and carry our team early on in the season and all that? Going to be interesting. I still would bet that he is there with Dallas when all said and done. But, you know, I do think maybe him and his camp, and I got a lot of respect, are being a little too aggressive with the amount of money they're asking and things like that. You know, I look at Patrick Mahomes and what he did with his contract. It's very team friendly. He took the route of, hey, I'm good. I'm going to be good for a while. And I want to have a supporting cast and go down as one of the greatest of all time. And, you know, Dak Prescott here at this point is certainly not in that class of a quarterback, certainly seems to want a lot of money and a lot of that salary cap allocated to him.
You're a former Patriot coaching assistant back in 2012, so you know the organization. So five teams are going to get a quarterback in the draft. New England drafts 15th. They'd have to move up probably to get one. The market now, Wentz is off the market. Stafford's off the market. They probably don't have the pieces to get Deshaun Watson. Garoppolo, according to the Niners, they're not moving him at least for a year. And I said this yesterday, it's kind of becoming worst case scenario for New England. There's about nine teams that need a quarterback, eight after them, and it's a bunch of rookies they won't get and a bunch of kind of Sam Darnolds where you don't know. Your gut feeling on who starts for them at quarterback the week after Labor Day?
If you made me bet money right now, I'm going to say it's Cam Newton.
Yeah.
I don't think that's dead yet there in New England. You know, again, Cam Newton, I know it wasn't great last year, but man, there are a lot of obstacles. Trying to learn that offense, which I would tell you is the most complicated offense in football, without an offseason, without a training camp. And then, of course, the COVID-19 that he had to deal with, and that really set him back. And, you know, for all those struggles, they were still a 7-9 football team.
Yep.
You know, it wasn't that far off with all the, you know, the COVID opt-outs they had and everything like that. So, you know, you said it. They're kind of in no man's land in the draft. And just, Colin, I am not real deep into my draft process. I'll come on in a few weeks from now and really get it into the quarterback nitty-gritty stuff with you. But, you know, I look at it right now. Lawrence, Wilson, Mac Jones, Justin Fields. I would think all of them are going in the top 10.
Yeah.
And I don't think Trey Lance, who I look at as a little bit more of a project, I don't think he's NFL ready right now. I don't think that's New England's type of guy at pick 15. I don't imagine that happening. So I think we're going to see Cam Newton back there. But you brought up another thing that I think is very interesting. The Sam Darnold aspect and what the Jets do, that is going to determine some things too. And I think there are some teams out there waiting to see what the Jets do to see, okay, maybe we can get Sam Darnold to be our starting quarterback as well. I'm not giving up on Sam Darnold. I'm not saying he's a superstar, but I think he's a good, solid NFL starting quarterback.
You know, Chris, I said this last week. I said, you know, it's interesting. If you move off Sam Darnold and you go with Zach Wilson, you're asking a Mountain West quarterback to come in and think about this. Face Belichick twice a year, Sean McDermott's defense twice a year, and Brian Flores. Those are three potential. First of all, one's the best defensive coach ever. McDermott's great, and Flores is a rock star. So you're asking a Mountain West quarterback who struggled against the better teams he played in college. I can make a very compelling argument. I keep Darnold. I get more picks for that number two spot. I mean, I could move down to Carolina at six and still get that tight end Kyle Pitts. I honestly think the Jets are struggling with this. I really do.
I do too. I mean, you brought up all the right points, certainly. All right. And I'll say this about Zach Wilson. From the little I've seen so far, though, he's the real deal. The gap between him and Trevor Lawrence is not as great as I thought going into this process. It's really not. I've been very impressed with what I see. And I do think he's NFL ready. I know it's Mountain West and everything you say like that, but hey, I'm a little biased that way. I saw a guy named Phil Sims come out of Moorhead State and do okay, or Josh Allen, you know, up there in Wyoming and be okay. But I think he's actually more polished than a Josh Allen and ready to go. But to your point, here's the other aspect I'd bring up about that. You know, to me, you got to be careful about letting the fans run the organization and tell you who's playing quarterback, because I bet you if the Miami Dolphins could go back in time, they'd go, you know what, maybe we should have kept Ryan Tannehill and not listen to the fan base and some other stupid people saying things about him behind the organization, and maybe we wouldn't be stuck here trading for Deshaun Watson or maybe drafting another quarterback because Tua wasn't all that impressive either. And I'm with you. I think they're going to be evaluating this, and it's not going to be an easy decision.
By the way, we've got Texas Sooner video 19 years ago. Famous play. Remember Roy Williams flew in and sacked you?
Oh, Thanks for bringing that up. You're such a nice guy. Yeah, I really appreciate that. Thanks a lot. You know, here's the great story about this play right here. And this is a heartbreaker. I mean, we got the ball. There's about 2 minutes left. We're down by 4 points. And I got nice coverage out there against our Roy Williams, who's arguably the best receiver in college football at the time. And I'm going, whoa, if I get him the ball here quick, He's one-on-one, and he may make this guy miss, and who knows what happens. But earlier in the game, they brought the same blitz, and Roy Williams, their Roy Williams, jumped over the pile. I made a miss and ran up the middle for about 30 yards. They told him on the sidelines, don't do that again. Don't jump. And, of course, he didn't listen, and it worked out. So those damn Sooners. Thanks a lot. Thanks for the good memories.
You bet. That's what we do here, Chris. We just do good memories. Great. No, I remember. I actually remember that play.
That was cold-blooded.
That was, wasn't it? Chris Sims, Pro Football Talk. Thank you, sir. Really appreciate it.